This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, news guy Noah Ofshinsky brings us up to date on the top stories in Wisconsin news, including the dueling ads from Mary Burke and Scott Walker.
First, it is a big election year in Wisconsin. That race for governor is grabbing most of the attention, followed by campaigns for Congress and the Attorney General's office. But the state legislature is also up for grabs.
But in many districts, it's not up for grabs, and voters in November will see just a single name on the ballot as races go uncontested. Our next guest is worried about what that means for democracy in Wisconsin.
Todd Berry joins us in the studio. He's president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He recently crunched those numbers on state legislative campaigns. Todd, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Well, let's check out the numbers. How many seats are going to be uncontested come November?
Yeah. Well, we have half of the state senate up, so that's 17 seats, and all of the assembly, so that's 99. So we're talking about 116 potential contests, and right now there are 40 of those, almost a third, that have absolutely no contest whatsoever. And after the primary, because the major Democrat or Republican candidate will have no major party opposition, that number will rise to 55, which is almost half the seats.
And you wrote something like this in your report. Basically, some people are going to be elected by virtue of filling out the papers.
That's right. Nomination papers were filed at the beginning of June, and that's when we sort of went through this count. And it's disconcerting because the total number of candidates has been dropping for several elections, and that total is one of the lower in the last decade or two.
Before we get to the why, let's get to the so what. What do we lose if there isn't more competition in these elections?
Well, you know, there's something called a representative democracy. and we elect people from constituencies, from districts. And usually this system works better when you have a little bit of discussion during the campaign so that the voters learn a little bit about the candidates, so that the candidates learn a little bit about what voters think. So the information flows both ways. If you don't have that, you have less informed, probably, legislative candidates in terms of being informed about their district. They certainly aren't going to feel as much pressure to be accountable to their constituents. And I think on the flip side, the public, because there isn't a campaign, is less likely to even realize that the legislature is out there. They're going to feel a sense of detachment. And that, you know, that is where the people are represented.
Well, let's now get into that why question. Something I think a lot of people would point to is there's been redistricting. So many of these districts are safe. Why bother to run on the other side if you know you're going to lose?
Yeah. Well, I think there's some truth to that, but I think there's a lot of other things going on as well. One thing I would point out is that we had redistricting in 2012, too, and there were almost 300 candidates running for the legislature, and this year there are about 50 fewer. So it can't be all redistricting, I'd say. And the other thing that's interesting is that of the 55 seats that are going to have no real competition in November, they're almost split evenly between the parties. And I think one of the things about redistricting that both parties like is it tends to make more incumbents of both parties safe. That's exactly what's happened with congressional districts in Wisconsin. The Republicans and the Democrats, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, traded a few voters and made everybody happier.
Well, another explanation for not as many people running comes from William on Facebook, who writes, "Who can afford it without making deals with dubious interests? Campaigns are expensive. You got to sell your soul a little bit to run."
Yeah, there is truth to that. It has become more expensive over the years, particularly in more contested districts where outside groups, interests, whatever, from other parts of the state, from other parts of the country, will get involved. And particularly in districts that are served by television markets, those can get quite expensive. But I think there's other things. I have for a number of years helped teach a community leadership program in the Madison area. And I have from time to time asked younger people, these are people in their late 20s, 30s, younger professionals in particular, people who are interested in their community, why they don't want to run mm-hmm. for higher office. And they're very clear. They don't want to put their neck out there and have it chopped off by just the sheer nastiness of campaigns. They don't want to put their families at that kind of discomfort.
There's always been some nastiness in American politics, at least at the national level. Do you think it is nastier now? You've been watching politics mm-hmm. for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think it has become more combative in the last couple decades, just as a reflection of American politics generally. The electorate is more polarized, the parties are much more polarized, and as a result, there isn't as much, if you will, cross-pollinization across the ideological divide, and it's easier to sort of not trust, dislike, even hate the other side.
Well, I wonder about 2012. That was a higher number you mentioned. I wonder, is that some after effect of Act 10 and the protests and the recalls, and people were fired up? Some people were maybe more mm-hmm. fired up to get out there and run, and that's waned maybe?
Well, that's possible, but remember the recall election had already been held, mm-hmm. and so some of that emotion may have been dissipated by the recall. It also was a presidential year, mm-hmm. and I think there is just generally more public awareness of presidential elections and therefore of elections generally.
How about the political parties? It's often viewed as their job to recruit candidates right. to run, even in districts where they're going to lose, to have somebody carry the banner and maybe help out with that statewide race.
Right.
Are they dropping the ball?
Well, yes, in a sense. I mean, if you go back into the 60s, the parties were volunteer, citizen-based parties, and the people that were elected to head those parties really made it a goal to fill the ticket, you know, from county offices and on up. And now that duty has pretty much fallen to the legislative leadership, and they make very strategic decisions. They don't recruit to fill the slate. They only recruit where they want to put their money and time in hopes of gaining an advantage that they didn't have in the prior election. So, in a sense, the strategic behavior is actually depressing numbers of candidates.
Hmm. We're talking to Todd Barry. He's president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He is worried about the large number of uncontested races that are going to show up in this year's November elections for the state legislature.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you agree that this is a problem? Why do you think so many seats go uncontested? And what needs to change to get people to run? Would you ever consider running for the state legislature? Or maybe have you run? What were the pros and cons? Let us know at 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
We'll continue this conversation coming up after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with Todd Barry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He says too few people are running for the state legislature, with a number of seats left uncontested in November.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Why do you think people aren't putting themselves out there to run for the state legislature? Why do you think there are a lot of uncontested races? Have you ever run? Would you run for the state legislature? Why or why not? What's stopping you? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post at the Central Time Facebook page. Well, Todd, let's get into another sticking point we're just talking about during the news, actually. It's a full-time gig to get onto the state legislature. Is that a hurdle, an obstacle for people to get into it?
Well, I think it's part of the problem, both for running and perhaps for the product that is produced. The National Conference of State Legislatures classifies legislatures as, you know, citizen, part-time, full-time professional. And Wisconsin is in that small group of about 10 to 11 states that is classified as full-time and professional. And incidentally, one of the smallest states to have such a legislature. You know, some of the other ones you'd expect, California, New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, large states. What I find somewhat amusing about that, and I watch state budgets in other states, is if you want to find states that can't pass budgets on time and sort of sink into fiscal dysfunction, those are the same states.
And is there something about being in a full-time legislature that maybe makes you more disconnected from your constituents, from daily life?
I think so. I mean, the old model, if you go back before the 70s particularly, you would see sort of this kind of profile. There'd be somebody who was farming, and maybe they were on a town board and they were in the state senate, or you'd see somebody on a school board maybe who owned a small insurance business and was in the assembly. So they had their feet planted in lots of different worlds, and it put them, I think, more in touch on a daily basis with a lot of different people. I think the other thing the full-time legislature does is that it changes the internal dynamics of the place and really makes the party leaders very powerful. Because if it's your full-time job and you want to keep that job, you want your bills to move, you want to be on the committees that you're interested in, you want to chair a committee, and the legislative leaders control all that. And I think what we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years is both sides of the aisle have punished folks that weren't quite towing the line to the point where they ended up running as independents and winning, by the way. So I know the argument is made that the legislature or the state government is more competitive now or more complex now, and you need a full-time legislature. But, you know, on the other hand, when did we do university merger, perhaps one of the biggest things in the last 50 years, with a part-time legislature? We managed to build one of really a fine school finance system with a part-time legislature. We did the biggest reorganization of state government with a part-time legislature. So I'm not convinced that necessarily you need a full-time body. And that's particularly true now with all the technology. You wouldn't probably even have to have a legislature meeting in Madison because you could do it all by distance.
So less is more.
Yeah.
Well, Ray in Heartland called, couldn't stay on the line. His question about why we don't have more competitive legislative races, is it because of two-party primaries, or that we only have primaries for the Republicans and the Democrats?
I think he's on to something. Both Republicans and Democrats, if you look at state statutes, have put things in election law that tend to favor the major parties and tend to make it a little bit harder for independents or third, fourth party people to run. So I do think he's on to something. The other thing is the way we have structured party primaries is, of course, the turnout is very low in those races. So on the Republican side, they run to the right to appeal to the core voter. And on the Democratic side, they tend to run to the left to appeal to the core voter. And just not meaning to name names, but you can see that in the Madison area and in the Waukesha County area on both sides of the aisle. I think some other states have found a better way to do it. If you're trying to get competition And that is they have what's called a blanket primary. Washington State, California just recently, Louisiana. You just throw all the candidates in a hat. They all run in the primary, and the top two vote getters go to the general election regardless of party. That means you're going to much more be likely to have a general election contest.
Another thing I wonder about is, and you've kind of alluded to this a little, are we just so cynical and not willing to believe that we can make a difference, that we're not we're not going out and running for office?
Well, and I think it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the way we have structured things, it is hard to have impact if you're at all free-thinking or independent, because, again, the party leadership tends, on both sides of the aisle, tends to call the shots. The thing is, if you have enough people running who want to rock the boat a little bit, then the whole fruit basket turns upside down. And you have seen that in some other states where renegades on both sides of the aisle have gotten together and elected a speaker other than the one that the majority party wanted.
We've got a caller. We've got Ben in Turtle Lake now. Ben, hi. You're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering if you think that the media has anything to do with people deciding not to run. You know, if you run and your opinions are contrary to the major parties, you know, there's a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin right now that are thinking that the people are the people with the power rather than the parties. But if you go and say you're going to run as a candidate and that's going to be your platform, you can't even get a local newspaper to run your story about, you know, they're all talking about, well, that would be a campaign ad. We can't interview you. You're not a part of the major party. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a part of the reason people don't run?
Well, I can only say this, and that is when you look at statewide races for governor and attorney general and so forth, and you do have third-party candidates running in some of those, they gripe that they can't get access to voters because they're shut out of debates, including, I might add, public television debates.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for the call, Ben. Now, Todd, I got to say, this is a little off the beaten path for you, this whole topic. You usually do numbers, taxes, budgets, that sort of thing. Why did you decide to pursue this issue? What got you worked up about it?
Well, it's something I've been interested in for a long time, but, you know, the core mission of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, if you go back to the 30s when we were founded, is really about civic education and civic participation. And there is nothing more fundamental to all this than voters being active and informed and being candidates and having real discussion of issues. You know, we do what we can. For instance, in high schools, we publish the state's only textbook on state and local government. But, you know, how do we speak to adults? And I think this is an issue where you can say to adults, here's a little problem, folks. Maybe you can help do something about it.
We heard from a guest yesterday who made the case that we need to make civic participation more fun. He had ideas on how to do that. But Todd, can you make the case that maybe fun isn't the right word, but that it is enjoyable to participate in public meetings, to run for office, to represent people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be, and particularly I think you see a lot of people that want to run for, you know, a county board or a local city council. Generally, the atmosphere is part-time. It's generally fairly polite and civil, and they feel they can contribute something without having their, you know, family run through the grinder. It does seem that the tone of campaigns has become such that it really discourages people from wanting to run for the right reasons.
We'll leave it there for now. Todd, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Todd Berry. He's president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, talking about his report on a shortage of candidates for Wisconsin's legislature.